Apologies for being a few minutes late. Unfortunately, there are other meetings that take place in Parliament and sometimes overrun their time. I just want to see who's leading from the two sides. Can I get an indication? Okay, and from SAPSA's side?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Lebeau, I don't have a problem you leading. I do have a problem, however, that unless there's an apology, that we get an apology from the DG. Is this the apology? Is there an apology? Because you must please forward those to me in time. Because I think if there's one thing that all of us, I'm worried about where all the members are. Oh, yeah, they are. If there's one thing that all of us must take a leave out from what happened at Waterkloof Air Force Base, it's the fact that there are a differentiation between policy and implementation thereof in terms of the strategy to implement. And this committee, as a committee, also have a responsibility to see to it that where we deal with presentations and where we deal with the work of the committee, whether it's policy, it comes from the minister, whether it comes via the secretariat, or whether it comes from the minister directly. The strategy part of it is where, and the operational part of the policy is where the department comes in. And I do believe that's one lesson not only us as politicians, but you as public servants should take note of and should take to heart as well. It's clear that sometimes we run into troubles because of these lines getting blurred, and we cannot afford that to happen. I'm going to ask that somebody just call the secretary, because exactly for that reason, I want the secretariat to start first, because that's policy part of it. And such then to follow with the operational part of it. So if you can go and have a look for me where the secretary is, please. Members, I will have to leave the meeting around 11:30. No, 11:30 for 12. I'll leave at 11:30. Then I'm going to ask the Honourable Mulabatsi to take over the meeting. We're going to start with a presentation. Hopefully by that time we most probably will be done. And then you can just need to adopt the outstanding budget reports because they need to be tabled before our debate next week. So if I can just make that arrangement while we're waiting for the secretary to get here. Next week we will be discussing the introduction of the DNA bill, the Hawks criteria that the minister has tabled for us. There's also a document that will be distributed to members afterwards dealing with that so that we can have a look at that. So if members could just prepare in terms of next week's meeting, knowing that we will have the introduction of the bill and we will also have the legal requirements according to the legislation, the Hawks legislation that must come to Parliament. One of it is that must come to Parliament. Another one is just for notification of Parliament so that we can deal with those next week as well. Now I'm wondering, did you get the secretary? Somebody phoning her?
I said people must go and have tea before, few minutes before you come. Maybe that's why.
We're starting, and as I've just explained, Secretary, we're starting. I've made the point now, I'm going to repeat the point, that if there's one lesson that we must learn from the Waterkloof Air Force Base issue, is that public officials should know where their responsibility starts and where the responsibility of the executive is. And that goes with delegated power as well. And for that reason, as a good reminder to ourselves as well, I made the point that the Secretariat of Police represents the Minister's policies. Operationalizing of the policies follows the policy, not the other way around. And for that reason, we're starting the presentation as such today as well. We've got you on for the National Development Plan. That would be the same thing. Policy informs operation. So can we start with you immediately? You have literally 20 minutes.
Thanks, Chair. Just to introduce the delegation from the Secretariat, with Ms. Bilkis Omar, the Chief Director, Head of Policy, and Mr. Faisal Ali, who is the Director in Policy and has been working on this. Our presentation is going to cover the policy framework that must inform the turnaround strategy. And I'm going to hand over to... But just before Mr. Ali starts, I just want to say that this policy framework that we've developed also speaks to what we will be presenting when we present to you on the white paper. So it doesn't contradict anything that is in the white paper.
Continue, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. The policy framework was informed from the dialogue that took place on the 5th of September as the initiatives that were supported by the Minister himself. And I think it provided us a platform to take the decision that on the part of the Secretariat it would be best suited if we looked towards putting a policy framework in place to address the 15 recommendations that were made from the dialogue. Over and above the issues raised in the dialogue, we also felt that the draft green paper, which would be later on the white paper, would also inform this policy framework and provide us a new direction that SAPS could engage and guide their strategic approach in terms of developing a strategy for the detection services. As per our introduction, we acknowledge that to make a positive impact on crime, that detection alone is not the only key factor, that there is a partnership, and that we should understand the processes that need to be aligned to ensure that we have an effective and efficient detection service. Now, internationally, we had looked at two approaches in terms of detection. The first approach supported that if you have a strong detection and that the punishments and sanctions are meted out accordingly, it would send a very clear message and hence we would have a reduction in crime. The second international approach is that maybe we should focus more strongly on prevention. And if we strengthen prevention, then detection will fall in place. We looked at both approaches, and I think a more balanced approach in terms of both enforcing detection as well as prevention would be more suited to our context. Relationships in terms of the justice cluster, justice and crime prevention cluster, we felt that if we were going to provide a policy framework, we should look very strongly in how we're going to sustain those kind of relationships and sharpen it, ensure that as a collective we are able to address the situation. Also, what was key is that we could not, or this is an approach we decided on, that maybe we should look at not only addressing the current issues raised from the dialogue, but to be forward-thinking in our approach, that the policy should provide a very clear direction of where we want to be in the future. And addressing issues around technology, the new way in which we would like to see the detective services functioning in the future. To support these initiatives, I think there were some key factors that resource allocation, skills development, techniques, all of those will have to be addressed if we want to meet the needs of the new detection service for the future. Can we have the next slide, please? To initiate the process of establishing the framework, we felt that we need to take all the government initiatives currently in place that would have an impact in the way we would like to see the detective services functioning in the future, and those initiatives in terms of the revamp, the 7-point plan, the minister's 10-point plan, the national development plan, and the detective dialogue should provide the guidance and the beacon in which we should then realign the way we see detection in the future. So what we decided here is that the policy, that the framework will actually provide guidance on how these initiatives will then be materialized. Next slide, please. Also, we looked at the growth patterns and spendings in the detective environment, and we looked at the year 2003, 2004, and the allocation of the budget and how the detective services have grown over the last few years, both in numbers and in the budget allocation. Currently, and these are the stats provided by SAPS, there is a total of 25,844 detectives functioning at the division, and these figures are excluding the DPCI. What was important is that the dialogue also raised the concern about establishing the actual number of detectives currently functioning in SAPS and what would be the ideal. And we felt that this was a good opportunity also to explore, as per the directives of the dialogue, to look at the other scientific models that are available to establish what an ideal number of detectives would be for the future. There were some discussions around international scans and what is currently available in terms of ideal number of detectives. Internationally, there was accepted 20% allocation of the total police force, police service, but we felt that the 20%, and if we look at our current allocation, we're there or thereabouts, but just generally applying the 20% rule didn't really have an impact. We felt that maybe we should be exploring 20% of the operational strength at the service center itself, which would give a different kind of figure in terms of detective services. In terms of workloads and work time calculations, there were plenty of models available. We explored that. Internationally, there were great studies done in the pathology environment, which was a very complex, dynamic environment, but they were still able to do workload calculations, how much time is needed, what kinds of skills are needed, and we felt that model could have a great influence in the way we look at establishing the ideal number of detectives. Now, currently, if you look at the RAG, which SAPS is using, 26,736 is what was proposed for the financial year 2011-2012, and this current financial year the figure should have been 28,813, and according to the SAPS figures provided, we're currently sitting at 25,844. Now, in terms of international benchmarking and also the RAG that is currently used by SAPS, there is indication that the detective service is currently understaffed. Over and above, I think our policy, what we would like to do is to do some sort of projection that they, and there is an agreement that we have an incremental growth, also part of that plan, that the detective service should have an incremental growth. Assumption would be that if crime increases on a 3%, that detective services should be aligned. But those kind of incremental growth, we want to engage more with SAPS and come with a finalized figure. We looked at the criminal justice revamp, which suggests that detectives should be in an ideal 33% in terms of the operational structure of SAPS. At this stage, SAPS is far behind that ideal. Now, what is important is that these kinds of strategies in terms of establishing ideal strength will have a big impact in terms of the workload. We can go on to the next slide, please. Currently, and this was an average, and this was also a study undertaken by the organizational development of the South African police last year. If you look at the actual workload of detectives, and basing it on averages of 4-year stats that was reported together with inquiries and inquests, currently there is an average of 76 dockets or cases on hand per detective. Now, SAPS is also, with the issue around funded post and granted post. So what we're saying is that if all the granted post was filled, then the reduction would be to 65. But if we project what the criminal justice revamp is speaking about, the 33%, looking at all the other initiatives, and working on an ideal strength based on incremental growth, then a more realistic amount in terms of average will be around 30 and 40. Now, these figures are also based on some of those scientific models that we explored, and we feel that that would be a more realistic long-term approach in terms of an ideal number. Next slide, please. In terms of skills audit, we found that there was this rapid growth within the South African Police Service in terms of detectives. And based on this rapid growth, there wasn't a focus in terms of ensuring that there were proper skills development and the people were being appointed to the detective services prior to being trained. Now, the rapid growth in terms of the skills and competencies required had to be aligned. If we look at 2002, the detective service personnel strength was 9,721, with a police population of 131,263, as compared to 2012, where the detective strength was around 23,701 and a police population of 199,000. And that was an overall growth of 6.8%, which was great in the environment. So what we're saying is that there should be an alignment between the skills and the growth. To address this, SAPS have adopted a three-pronged approach to training. There is the ROC that is currently presented to members. New recruits were also subjected to direct deployment from the training to detective services. And there's also ongoing training. We feel that the skills audit and the policy should be forward-thinking, that not only should we focus on the generic operational training needs, but there should be more organizational, individual, competency-based. If we want to address a turnaround strategy, the skills will have to meet the needs of that strategy. So currently, we feel that there is lots that needs to be done in this environment, and the policy will propose the kind of directions in terms of skills development that is needed. Just to reinforce what we said about the scientific models and the formulas that currently exist in workloads, We all acknowledge that the detective service is a very dynamic environment and is influenced by various factors in both the internal and external environments. But this was some of the criteria used by SAPS as well. They looked at the norms per type of crime, environmental factors, contingencies, and I think detailed studies were done in this environment. And we also want to acknowledge here that maybe we need to sit and look at the localized level where the service is being delivered to see how the uniqueness of a station is addressed and not have an overall formula to address one size fits all. Next slide, please. In terms of recruitment and training, a key component of improving the detective service in SAPS is the recruitment of the right kind of person and the training of such a person. We feel that, and this is also guided by the Minister's 10-point plan and the National Development Plan, which seeks to professionalism and excellence. To be able to do that, we need to establish what is a profile of a good detective. We need to understand the detective environment in its different categories and its specialization. And standards, minimum standards and training required should be established. What we found is that most countries view detectives on a different level than general policing. That there was a strive for members within general policing to want to become detectives. And it was based on experience, it was based on your ability to perform in the visible policing environment. And becoming a detective was seen as a reward and a progression. So, looking at some of the practices currently, as it was raised in the dialogue itself, that we should be discouraging and reconsidering the direct recruitment from the police college to bolster numbers. Go on. What we also found in the international scan is that most countries separate the issues of training and selection, and in that way we ensure that the quality of detectives that enter into the detective service is a person that has both those requirements met in terms of first undergoing training and then based on a selection board. Undergo a selection process to ensure that the integrity and quality of people chosen is met. What is also important is there should be an exit strategy for people that do not meet the minimum standards, and the policy will be providing directions in terms of this recruitment and training. The Secretariat is also busy with a recruitment to retirement policy for SAPS, which will encompass these issues on a more detail. We also felt that we should be aligning, to the next slide please, we should be aligning the requirements for training in terms of the requirements by the South African government in terms of CETA and training standards and all programs over and above the one that we speak about. So regularly ROC. Detective training is more than ROC, but we should be ensuring that our training is aligned to government standards. We also believe that the detective service must be actively marketed as it was raised in the dialogue as well, as a career of choice. There should be more in the policy would address that. Crime scene management, on the next slide. Crime scene management was raised in the dialogue as well, where the issues around training should not only be for detectives, but in terms of first responder, there should be training provided to new members. At basic training, there should be training provided to existing detectives that undergo the ROC, but also all the visible policing members that are already in the system. This should be bolstered. Over and above the second bullet point, we speak about establishment of specialized units in the detective service, but currently the services are not readily available throughout the country, and there should be a strategy to address areas in terms of geographical location, population, where specialized services can be provided in terms of standby or establishment of detectives from general detectives that can be multi-skilled. In terms of career pathing, just want to run quickly, we're still under the 20 minutes. In terms of career pathing with the detectives, we acknowledge that this is an environment that is totally different than visible policing, and as such we should be acknowledging it and exploring alternatives in terms of vertical growth and horizontal progressions. We've had a look at the draft retention strategy that is currently in place at the detective service and feel that our policy should provide direction on how this is going to be addressed, that the detective is viewed as a different set of working factors that are totally different from visible policing. In terms of management and leadership, the next slide, please. In terms of management and leadership, we believe that mentorship programs should not be just be spoken words, but it needs to be formalized. It should be included as part of the SOPs on how specifically detective management is handled over and above generic management issues. Internationally, there is a host of management tools that are available in the detective environment in terms of daily management. We have explored some of these tools, and I think there would be great assets in terms of everyday management tools that can be used by detective managers. And we feel that if these tools are adopted in terms of the detective turnaround strategy, it will make a huge impact in the management and leadership aspect. Over and above management and leadership, I think coordination is important. And coordination not only at national level, but at all levels of which the detective service is involved. We have excellent coordinating mechanisms nationally, but it still lacks in terms of the integrated approach at localized levels. And I think we need to formalize the coordinating structures. And in return, accountability would be improved. The National Development Plan also speaks about a two-streamed approach in terms of recruitment, where we recruit for the NCO Corps or the Officers Corps, and we will be exploring and conducting more research and see how it will be applicable in the detective environment and linking it to the vertical and horizontal progressions we spoke earlier on. Can we move on to intelligence-led policing? I think if there's one aspect we need to take out from the policy and say this would be the way to go forward, is that we need to explore alternatives to the traditional reactive model of investigating of crime. Now, what we are proposing is not radical change to the structuring of the detective service, but we're looking at a new model in which the detective service can function in the future, taking technology, looking at the different ways and breaking away from the reactive model that is currently being done. Now, we've also done international scans. There is excellent examples out there that is working, and we would like to align the future of detective services based on intelligence-led policing and a new way in integrating technology, skills, and I think the concept around informers, the use of crime information products, there's a whole host of them, would be the new way for the future. language as raised by the Portfolio Committee as well was a challenge and still is a challenge. But we wanted to explore the model that was used for the FIFA World Cup 2010 and how did we get it right. So we wanted then to suggest in the policy of there is the potential within the departments to make this happen. We just need to reactivate them. In terms of technology, we all acknowledge that technology is the way to go, the way for the future. And if we look at the model we're proposing in terms of the intelligence-led policing, then technology would be an integral part. And to be able to do that, we need to consider the current skills level of the detective services and how we're going to change that to the future in terms of resources of medium to long term. We had issues around the e-docket, and there might be other electronic needs, so we'll have to address the platform currently existing and see whether it can accommodate all the future changes that we propose with the new model. In terms of partnerships, as we've indicated, any strategy aimed at improving investigation and detection should be strongly reliant on establishing partnerships that will add value. We acknowledge that there is memorandum of understanding and there is formalized partnerships that exist within the detective service, but our problem is how do we take it down to the detective at lower level? And we are proposing, yeah, that maybe the partnerships should not only stay at national, but be able to filter down and detectives have access at whatever level to the cooperation. I thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Mamus, if you are as unlucky as me, your presentation will not be complete. So we're asking that the committee section follow up on it to make sure that members get complete presentations. We are immediately going to take the SAPS one so that we can compare the two to see whether you are actually aligned to each other or whether you're leading us down another Waterkloof issue. So General Libia, you can introduce your team and then you can start. You also have 20 minutes. I know it's a lengthy presentation, but we give guidelines to the departments. We say 20 minutes presentation. If you don't adhere to it by giving us a 40-page presentation, there's very little that we can do about it. We've got limited time ourselves. Continue, please.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, good morning. Firstly, let me confirm the written apology by the National Commissioner that she is engaged elsewhere. And then secondly, let me just introduce the delegation. We are a team of 18. We have got four lieutenant generals. We have got five major generals, seven brigadiers, one colonel, and one lieutenant colonel. To save time, I'll only introduce the lieutenant generals, which is myself, Lieutenant General Levier, Lieutenant General Dramat, Deputy National Commissioner responsible for the DPCI, Lieutenant General Munu, the Divisional Commissioner for Detective Service, and the Lieutenant General Pathane, the Divisional Commissioner for Forensic Services. Honorable members, our presentation consists of 51 slides. What we are going to be doing is Detective Service, the Divisional Commissioner, will present the slide 3 to 28, and then the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation will present from slide 29 to slide 40. Forensic Services will take the rest 41 to 51. As understood, they shall speak to this and not to read every sentence. Thanks, Madam Chair. I now hand over to the Detective Service.
Madam Chair, honorable members, good morning. If I go to slide 4, it is the structure.
you will see the Deputy National Commissioner Crime Detection, which is Lieutenant General Lubea. The structure is in front of us where the division has three components. The next slide will deal with the resource. General detectives at station level, we have 20,533. Public Service Act personnel, 22,026. General detectives cluster level, we have 341 Police Act members, 9 Public Service Act members. Specialized investigations, which includes your family violence, child protection, sexual offenses, stock theft, and vehicle identification section, there's 4,333 Police Act, 858 Public Service Act. At provincial level, you have 481 Police Act members and 106 Public Service Act members. At divisional level, we have 156 Police Act and 152 Public Service Act members, which gives us a total of 25,844 Police Act members, 3,151 Public Service Act members, as at the 31st of March 2013. Breakdown of the components, you have the total number of commanders in the division is 2,419 commanders, investigators 20,388. Total number of detectives working in the Detective Service Center is 3,037. We come to the dockets, the workload, total dockets on hand as of 31st March 2013 is 1,314,957. Inquest dockets 52,000, inquiries 62,000. While the 2008 review of the criminal justice system report suggested that the SAPS should employ further 30,000 detectives to come to a figure of 52,500 detectives, the RAG, the resource allocation guide, is currently under review, which shall determine the granted and funded post. This shall be finalized after the current normalization process, which the department is undergoing to have everybody placed in a funded post. A plan shall then be developed upon finalization of this process. The retention strategy, currently detectives are recruited from the members of visible policing who are already well experienced in statement taking, crime scene management, victim interviewing and empowerment, as well as suspect interviewing. Detectives are also recruited at entry level, direct at training institutions, and members are therefore sent for a full detective training course, which is the resolving of crime, at the training institutions, and after training, they are posted directly to the detective service. However, this method of recruitment is being reconsidered to ensure that the detectives recruit amongst those who have acquired practical experience of at least 2 years. Recruitment and selection process of detectives are also contained in paragraph 8 of the draft retention strategy of the detective service. The aim of this strategy is to ensure proper selection and retention of detectives. Crime scene management is presented to first-time responders to crime, which is mostly your frontline members, which are visible policing, community service center members as well. Detectives who complete the old detective learning program or resolving of crime. This was the detective courses presented. The SAPS Academy All Saints has been dedicated to develop detectives in the Eastern Cape. Crime scene management is part of the focus area. A training partnership is being established with training institutions, and 50 trainees from Gauteng will undertake such training at the University of Cape Town. Training needs based on audit. Resolving of crime, 21,513 that has been trained, not yet trained, 4,331. Planned activities for the 2013-14 financial year, total number of investigators to be trained on the resolving of crime is 2,898. On the 2014-15 financial year, 1,433. Total training cost for internal training, SAPS Academy, is 12,770 rand times 4,331 investigators, which will give you 553,306.87. Total training costs, external training venues, is 122,465 rand times 4,331 investigators, which will be a huge 64,954,934 rands. Other planned detective course includes the family violence, child protection and sexual offences learning program, the stop theft learning program, vehicle investigators learning program, basic crime investigation course, and basic sexual offences investigators program. 21,786 laptops were purchased and distributed to the provinces for detectives to be utilised during investigations. During the 2013-14 financial year, detectives will be trained in typing and other computer-related skills. 3,383 detectives have already been trained in computer literacy and 242 in Microsoft Word. Junior members or investigating officers are placed under the supervision of experienced members for development. Mentorship is also being developed as part of the retention strategy. Human resource management is currently working on a methodology to recruit willing retired detectives to form part of mentorship programs. A team of deputy provincial commissioners and national component heads of the detectives are working on the development of a guideline that is designed to be an aid to investigators in the use of cell phone facilities. Specialization at station level. Investigating officers at station level investigate general crime. Long-serving members were trained in the old detective course. Newly recruited members are trained in the resolving of crime, which is your ROC. Human resource development rolled out training to detectives at station level in specialized course like sexual offences course, basic fraud investigation course, cybercrime course, stop theft, organized crime, psychologically motivated crime course. The aim is to empower members to be multi-skilled. This request was also made at the detective convention that was held on the 21st of April until the 25th of April 2013. Training has been scheduled to train the first batch of officials on drug-related cases in KwaZulu-Natal. A retention strategy for detective service has been drafted and was presented to the National Management Forum. A task team has been appointed under the leadership of the Deputy National Commissioner for Human Resource Management to develop the strategy that will also cater for other environments. The strategy deals with the following: workload of investigating officers, corporate hierarchy, promotions and growth, vertical growth and horizontal progress, economic incentives, detective allowance, overtime, standby allowance, specialized unit allowance and clothing allowance, recruitment, effective induction program, employee development and training, mentoring program, incentives and rewards, morale building, communication, performance management, career path and planning, employee wellness. Financial implications of some of the aspects mentioned. Detective allowance of 25,845 members at the rate of 2 notches above current scale, which is averaged at 12,000 rands per annum. Detective commander's allowance for 1,700 members at the rate of 24,000 per annum. Specialized unit allowance for 4,333 members at the rate of 18,000 per annum. Overtime allowance estimated at for 15,000 members at the rate of 12,000 per annum. Standby allowance estimated for 2,200 members at a rate of 12,000 per annum. Clothing allowance for 25,844 members at the rate of 3,800 per annum, which makes 5,000, which will become, if you add the 3,800 to the current 1,200, will give you 5,000. Members of the SAPS have been assigned to be part of the team that work with the civilian secretary to make proposal for the review of the SAPS Act of 1995. Emanating from the Act, the regulations on promotions, which also takes qualifications into consideration, may be reviewed. Revisiting resource allocation guides. The resource allocation guide is being revisited and will be finalized after the submission process. Total number of detectives excluding Public Service Act personnel is 25,000, as mentioned. The following physical resources were purchased from the criminal justice budget for the 2012-13 financial year. Vehicles 418, steel cabinets 9,835, cooler boxes 1,239, fridges 581, chest freezers 45, laptops 21,786. Initial resources in terms of, in the form of 3D cards and signing devices are still required to enhance the usage of these computers. Management issues, command and control. Internal measures at unit and branch level are exercised to ensure effective command and control, which in turn is measured through the station visits, evaluations and inspections. The majority of commanders of detective service have been trained in the detective commanders learning program. To improve management, the next step is to train all commanders of the different detective investigation groups, that is your violent crime group, the economic crime group, general crime investigation group, and detective service centers. Once all these junior commanders are trained, management will be more effective and succession plan will be enhanced. The detective service center, which is the face of the detective service as a client, are referred to it after reporting cases. The community service centers are being implemented. Members working in the detective service center will be given priority in training and development. 338 detective service centers have been implemented. There are still 18 outstanding. 338 vehicles have been issued to the detective service centers.
Can you just explain to us what is this detective service center?
Madam Chair, honorable members, the detective service centers were created so that detectives could be available on a 24-hour basis at your larger stations to give attention to cases reported immediately, so that your crime scenes are done immediately, your statements are taken immediately. So it's actually your frontline service to complainants, to victims of crime.
I'm asking that question because we just went through a week-long presentation by SAPS on your budget and your annual performance plan, and this is the first word that we hear about it. That's the problem with SAPS. And it's clearly got financial implications as well. Continue, please.
Madam Chair, I would
just continue.
The 10-pillar strategy. To enhance management of the detective service, a 10-pillar strategy was developed and implemented in the 2012-13 financial year. The pillar addresses the following. Pillar 1, effective investigation and detection of serious crime, contact-related crime, crime against women and children, property-related crime, and crime dependent on police action for detection. The effective investigation and detection of crime against women and children, improving procedures for updating the records of offenders, improving the collection and processing of crime scene evidence. Pillar 2, improve command and control. Pillar 3, human resource management. Pillar 4, physical resource management. Pillar 5, enabling structures. Pillar 6, enhancement of intelligence-led policing. Pillar 7, case management. Pillar 8, wanted persons. Pillar 9, communications. Pillar 10, performance management. This strategy has been revised for 2013-14 to be in line with the 2013-14 annual performance plan. The minister's 10 key points, recommendations from the detective dialogue, 10 points adopted by the National Commission and the Detective Convention, which are allowance for clothing, standby allowance, specialized functions must be reviewed, career pathing and retention strategy for detectives, training of general detectives in specialized investigations, example fraud, shortage and quality of accommodation for detective units must be addressed, as well as the rack to accommodate the vast growing population and infrastructure of police stations and units. whistleblowers, special measures to protect them, decentralized commercial crime units to function at a lower level. Example, the organized crime units are functioning at this stage. Re-establishment of the specialized units, and specialized units must have their own SAPS6. Revisit the mandate of the commercial crime unit. Review of the detective service policy and purification of the roles and responsibilities of the detective. Targeted recruitment for specialized units to allow new entrants to be placed at the unit. Value for money, resource purchase from the CJS budget. Madam Chair, I've mentioned already the resources, but this is the breakdown of per province. The guideline is that SAPS should look outside the service of possible and readily available technological solutions in order to leverage technology effectively in the fight against crime. The search for technological capacity is a continuing process that is being researched by technical management services and the detective service. Moving step by step, the implementation of the current computer literacy process is designed to ensure that by 2020 all detectives shall be computer literate and by 2030 be technologically advanced. Within specific crime investigation, there is a new proposed section called Technological Investigation Support Center. The Technological Investigation Support Center will be assisting all investigating officers in technological investigations. All new technology that will be of importance to police investigations will be installed in this center. The structure is awaiting approval. A work study has been conducted for the consideration of the establishment of a specific crime investigation component, TISC, within the specific crime investigation component. Zero tolerance to corruption. The anti-corruption strategy has been drafted and is awaiting the approval of the National Commissioner. The new structure of the detective service is making provision for one anti-corruption unit at head office and one anti-corruption unit at all nine provinces, one per province. The purpose of these units is to ensure zero tolerance to corruption by investigating all cases of corruption where police officers are implicated. The structure is awaiting approval. Language barrier and taking statements. People who are proficient in different languages at the station assist victims in instances where there is a language barrier in the obtaining of statements as a means to minimize the shortcomings. Enhancement of this of the language support capacity in language section in the SAPS is being considered. The matter will be further escalated in the JCPS to determine if the SAPS could leverage on the existing pool of interpreters. The division HRD is introducing practical English in the current statement-taking course. Women and children improvement of services. The investigation of all sexual offences cases is now the responsibility of the Family Violence, Child Protection, Sexual
Deputy Offense. National Commissioner, you have now, Divisional Commissioner, you have now exceeded your 20 minutes that I've given to the detectives. So can you give over to your next presenter, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Say, Secretary, I'm addressing this to you. I've already, and I presume from the reaction of members, is also frustrated with what we're getting. We have been very, very clear in our instruction during the detective dialogue that we want a coordinated and a process that is led by the Secretariat. And there's already contradictions. There are already contradictions in what is presented to us. I'm not talking figures. I'm talking in terms of the approach. On the one hand, the focus here is on the RAG. Your focus is forward-looking. On the other hand, there is this whole issue, and I mean, I found it extremely frustrating, giving us cost what outside training would cost versus what inside training would cost. The detective dialogue never said go outside for training. What it said is get partnerships with outside bodies into SAPS to assist with training. You would remember that SAPREC and organizations such as that said we would make ourselves available. This is not an academic exercise for us. And I need to know whether you have worked jointly on this report before we continue with this report.
There may be some slight differences, but I'm not sure that there are overall contradictions in terms of what we're saying, because even what you're talking about in terms of the RAG, we're saying that the RAG is under review at the moment. We're saying as part of that review, the focus should be on detecting...
Because you don't answer the individual cases. Okay. Have you worked jointly on these two presentations? Because I can tell you that there is at least six pages of differences.
Chair, we basically have had a number of different meetings. We didn't work jointly on the two presentations, but we have had a number of meetings between ourselves and detectives around the two different presentations.
The committee's recommendations were clear. Number of detectives, we need to know how many we have, what is our ideal number. Still, you come here, you give us a RAG and a personal number. That is not active detectives, as acknowledged by SAPS and yourselves. So we still don't know how many active detectives we have in the country. Operational detectives. It's a RAG, it's a personal number. Some of them are in management positions. Some of them are no longer detectives. They're invisible policing. They're station commanders. Second one was recruitment. We said, come here with a recruitment policy. Training. Specialization. Career pathing. Now we hear from SAPS side a career pathing policy that they are busy with, but it's not in line with the policy that you are busy with. The policy, the career pathing that we spoke about in the detective dialogue was clear. We said, let's focus on the detective dialogue, on the detectives. We did not talk about clothing allowances and overtime allowances and things like that. I mean, that's sideline issues. You're not going to attract people to make a career of detectives by giving them these allowances. It's also about retaining those detectives that are there, resources, management, CJS revamp and IJS funds and projects, modernization, corruption, language. Now, what must we hear from SAPS? Well, we're looking at training people in basic English. That's not the problem. The problem is that there are people that speak basic English at the station, but they can't take a statement down in basic Corso. There's no timelines, nothing whatsoever, no deadlines. Professionalism of forensic, we're still getting to that. Improving services for women and children. Partnerships with the other one. I'm giving you 10 minutes to finish your presentation. Please go ahead. Can I say, this is the last time that this department comes to the Portfolio Committee on Police and makes the DPCI part of a presentation. The last time. We said that during the budget, you didn't listen. It's the last time. Continue, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, perhaps just to indicate that you've already alluded to the fact that during this month, 28th, there will be the ease before this committee. The issue of the policy guidelines for the DPCI, and many of those guidelines, or the approval of those guidelines, will initiate a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of the recruitment policy, what is the strength, the required strength of the DPCI, and others. However, I just want to present in terms of what it is that the DPCI, as they are now, and what we've done to capacitate the DPCI. At the head office, in terms of our numbers, we have a head office 352. In terms of the provincial breakdown, we have 246 in Eastern Cape, 150 Free State, 532 in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal 315, Limpopo 123, Mpumalanga 136, Northwest 159, Northern Cape 86, and Western Cape 195, the total number of police act members of 2,294. In terms of our personnel, in terms of the Public Services Act, Madam Chair, there is a complete breakdown with a total number of 598 Public Service Act members in the DPCI. The number of investigators within the DPCI, in terms of the gender, we've got females 426 only, and we have 1,770 male investigating officers in the DPCI, gives us a total of 2,196 investigating officers. In terms of resources that we received in IT, we've distributed 2,000 laptops, screens 418, portable printers 425, and the list is there, Madam Chair. Just the external hard drives 2,000. This was specifically procured to deal with issues of cyber crime in order for us to be able to download and basically image of the computers. In terms of further on the resources for this period, the previous financial year, there were 206 vehicles that were distributed. That brings the total of vehicles that the DPCI has to 1,807. We also had specialized mobile laboratories. This specifically is for us to be able to respond to the cyber crimes, where we want to distribute in all the nine provinces a capacity, a vehicle that is equipped with basic equipment in order to do extractions from cell phones and computers. We've also distributed the steel cabinets, GPSs 984, voice recorders 442, our shredder machine 70, 97 cents. In terms of corruption, Madam Chair, we have our integrity managed unit within the DPCI to promote a culture of honesty and transparency and the maintenance of integrity generally within the directorate. And the unit deals with all forms of corruption to ensure that members' integrity is beyond reproach. We make use of lifestyle audits. We also have a reporting mechanism for where DPCI members or people of members of the public could be reporting about any of the integrity breaches of DPCI members. It's only focused on DPCI members, Madam Chair. The next slide is just in terms of our MDF expenditure. And one can just note there that there has been a year-on-year growth in terms of the budget for the DPCI, Madam Chair. In terms of the 13-14 year, one would just like to most probably highlight the issue in terms of our proposal that we'd want to, within this year, invest quite considerably within training. We are looking on average from our operational budget to be allocating 10 million to specifically deal with training of DPCI members. In terms of our partnerships, Madam Chair, we've just listed a few of the institutions and bodies with whom we do have partnerships. One would probably just want to draw the attention to one such as SABRIC, where our partnership continues to grow. We have active engagements with SABRIC, specifically on the crimes confronting the banking industry, cyber crimes specifically, as well as the cash in transit industry. We'll be able to we form strong partnerships. It's a good cooperation, and we're able to deal with the crime threats more effectively. Madam Chair, that is from the DPCI presentation. Thank you.
Continue forensic services, please. Members, do you have complete sets of presentations? Because again, I'm in the privileged position of not having one. Continue, please.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, thanks for the opportunity. In view of the time that is against us. I'm going to rush through this presentation.
Asks SAPS, ignore what you've said to us in the budget hearing. Please speak to the new things. I mean, you come here, you give us the same things that you gave us during the budget hearings. Same figures, same everything. Give us the new things, please.
Chair, I think one of the key issues was to ensure that we capacitate the forensic services. The establishment has grown to a total of 7,346. And in view of our commitment to ensure that we professionalize forensic services, we are only focusing on employing primarily graduates, people qualified in natural sciences for deployment both within the laboratories as well as at crime scene management, and once they're employed, taking them through internal programs to get them to the expert status. And we believe that it's an attempt to ensure that we work towards our mandate of supporting the investigation of crime. We can go to the next slide. I think, Chair, what is maybe necessary at some point is a discussion on the repositioning of forensic services within the organization. I think if one looks also at the presentation, both from the secretariat and the detectives, the primary focus is more on investigation, which is not our sole mandate, because we render a service to all other organs of policy. Thus, the repositioning is very critical, and maybe the point at which that should be looked at is when the debate is on in respect of the DNA bill, which is going to be before the honourable members very soon. In terms of the issue of collaborating with other institutions, Chair, we have made some progress. We are engaging, amongst others, the University of the Free State, which is already offering a qualification on forensic services at the first degree level. They are now beginning the process to offer an honours program. There were some interest from the University of KZN as well as the University of the Western Cape, including the Northwest, where those initial discussions have taken place, and we believe that they will yield some benefit. In terms of crime scene management, Chair, what we have done, amongst others, to ensure that our members are at the level required, we have introduced proficiency testing, which was not the case at crime scene management level. It was more what we were doing within the laboratories. In the previous financial year, we started that process, which gained momentum following the detective dialogue. We have done the decentralization of the service points, which means we can render the crime scene management capacity to the majority of the 91 LCRCs. As far as modernization is concerned, we have deployed more equipment, much more advanced equipment, which enables us to do the work that we are supposed to be doing. Forensic awareness, because we realize that we have a challenge around that, not only within forensic services, but in the organization and also in our collaboration with other departments. Deployed additional vehicles, cell phones, to ensure that members are accessible and are responding to the crime scenes. Also enhance the accessibility and response time. We also revised the standard operating procedures particularly in view of the challenges that we're experiencing at crime scene, amongst others, to cap, compromising crime scenes by making sure that the members do utilize the prescribed PPEs. We can go to the next slide. Chair, as far as the Criminalistic Bureau is concerned, we have expanded the AFIS capacity to additional sites, which is helping us in supporting the detectives and the operational people to do their work. We also enhanced the standards and also improved the turnaround times, amongst others, to ensure the provision of police clearances and so on. Next one. As far as specialized investigation is concerned, we have now established IPU, investigative psychology capacity, within all the provinces, which capacity in the previous financial year we only had at national. So we have employed people. We are still in the process of further capacitating and ensuring that the training is offered, particularly also to detectives, so that they could be able to utilize the services rendered by that environment. We also established DNA database capacity, where we provide leads, and I think the recent sentences will bear testimony to the commendable progress that we are making there. There are a number of cases which we could be talking to, but in view of time, I suggest we proceed to the next one. We can move to the next one, because this is just the focus of the lab in terms of what we do there. You can proceed to the next. The issue related to quality management accreditation, maybe I can ask General Shezi just to talk to that issue, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. In light of the accreditation, we are also to provide in the response today the extent to which the areas of to be accredited are identified. I just wanted to remind the House we have only one body that does accreditation in the country, South African National Accreditation Standard. We have consulted with them. We have laid out a plan as to what we would like to be initiated. However, we haven't reached a consensus as yet, given the resources from the DTI environment in terms of taking the matter forward. As soon as we have agreed with both departments on the plan going ahead, that plan will subsequently be presented before Parliament as to how the accreditation services will be tabled. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, members. If you will allow me, I think I must just highlight some of the issues that are, and then we need to take a decision how we're going forward. We were very clear what we said. We said we want a comprehensive response required from detective services together with the secretariat, led by the secretariat. The report is elevated to the level of the minister. That's what we said. A costed implementation plan on how recommendations will be implemented must be presented. There's no consolidated response. I'm not sure about the alignment of these things, and I'll highlight a few. It seems like SAPS are going ahead with certain initiatives in the absence of certain policies, or policy decisions have not been taken yet. Now, that is a problem. The figures that you are giving to us are still based on personal figures, which you yourself acknowledged during the budget hearing is not in line with the RAG figures. The RAG figures are two censuses old. So we still don't have clear figures. We don't know where those detectives are, the 25,000 that you say that are there. I mean, yes, you give us figures, so many at an at cluster level, so many at provincial level, so many at a national level. But are they detecting? Have you done a skills audit of detectives? And training needs? Can you tell us, can you honestly stand up here today and tell us, of the 6,000 detectors in province X, this is every single person's training needs? I doubt it. Because we've got serial trainees as well. We see that when we get to stations. The same person going on training over and over again, different training, because in that way he doesn't have to work. Check it out. The Secretariat gives a way forward and how to ascertain the ideal number, but no time trace or indication on how it's going to be implemented, proceed to implement. It seems like your presentation on the ideal figures is based on the needs rather than the constraints. SAP's figures, ideal figures, is based on the constraints rather than the needs. Now you want to tell me there's no contradiction, Secretary? That's a basic departure point, is how many detectors do we need? Yours is based, which I think is correctly, on our needs, not on our constraints. Then we need to budget for those needs. Not in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it can be 6 years. But we need to budget for it. SAPS is based on the constraints. When is the deadline for the RAG review? And what's the way forward after you've done the RAG review? There's no talking about it. Once you've done the RAG review, suddenly you find out we need 20,000 more detectors. And then what? There's no way forward. It's not even clear to us whether you are in agreement with the two approaches. Which one is it that we are going to follow? Are we following the caseload approach, or are we following, well, let's do a calculation based on 20-year-old census data and then decide how many detectors we need? We don't know what you're doing. It's clear that there are more work that needs to be done by this so-called team that work together. What is your agreement, SAPS and the Secretariat, on the way forward? Nobody spoke about that. I think SAPS must also realize, I would urge SAPS to read the Secretariat Act, to understand what the role of the Secretariat is. But I would also urge the Secretariat to play your role. The recruitment issue. You seem to agree that recruitment should be from current members rather than the new recruits. Yet again, no time frames for implementation of this decision, if it's a decision that was taken. So when are we moving from sending raw recruits to the detective environment and expecting them to be miracle detectors overnight to this process of recruiting only after 2 years of the person who served? When? What's the time frame that we are talking about? Doesn't seem like such is an agreement with you that training should take place prior to deployment. It's not clear from the presentations. It's the same thing that we said to you during the budget hearings. Why don't you train a core group of branch commanders? Even if they don't become branch commanders immediately, at least you've got a group of people that are trained and that knows once there's a position going open for a branch commander, I've already got the training and I can apply for that position. Technology, with all due respect, I think what was reported here to us is not technology. It's basic utilization of basic available day-to-day communication apparatus. It's not technology. Cell phone. I'm stunned to hear that by 2020 you believe that you will have computer literate detectives. In the meantime, but you're going to the root of the e-docket, you're going the root of this new system, but by 2020 only will we have technology clued up detectives. There's no rush to implement e-dockets in any case, it seems, because the detectors won't be able to use it. And that advanced skilling only by 2030, my God, I don't know. We're now in 2013, 17 years down the line. So there's a sense of urgency here somewhere. Again, retired detectors. You're talking about a policy secretary and a methodology. They're already talking about the process. Surely the minister needs to sign off on that policy first before there can be talk about a process that takes place. SAPS is talking about the methodology that they are going to implement. And you are talking about that you should be considered. You worlds apart on this issue. I don't believe SAPS can talk about the methodology before the final decision has not been taken. Do we want to use? How are we going to use them? What are their role going to be? From this we can't see how many trained, specialized skills are still needed at station level. It was one of the things that we required. We can't see it. We can't determine it. Because you know why? Because you don't know either. What's the implementation time frame for the retention strategy? And can I say again, the retention strategy is not clothing allowance and overtime and whatever else you think it might be. What was the role of the Secretariat in developing this retention strategy, if any? What is the relationship of this retention strategy in terms of the broader policy? Is the guidelines developed by the Secretary for this retention strategy? I've talked about the RAG and the time frames about it. Time frames for 3G cards. Enhanced use of laptops. Time frames. Smartphones. Time frames. Vehicle ratio, do you want to decrease the vehicle ratio? Is that what we need to see from what you've presented to us? Also from both of your presentations, it's unclear for us to see whether there's agreement that all appointments and promotions to management within the detectives must be done on basis of training and qualifications. It doesn't come out. So again, we're going to have a situation where promotions continue, person becomes a branch commander, but he's never done a ROC course. And that we find in stations. Never done a ROC course, but he's now the commander of detectives at the station. I can refer you to Robertson Police Station now. Is there agreement? Is the status quo going to remain, or are you going to train them after the promotion? We don't know. SAPS, you seem to be happy with the current situation, that we can keep the status quo, that there are no new initiatives needed to make sure that we've got skilled people who are actually promoted. Time frames for the revamp of performance agreements, measures for detective management, and the inclusion thereof in the SOPs. Backlog for commander training and DCLP. Time frames. Is there any alignment between the 10 points? Doesn't seem like it. Identified the detective convention and the recommendations that we've made. The use of CJS revamp, sorry to say, but what you've given us is inadequate. Because what you've given to us is basic resources for detectives. That was not the intention of the CJS. CJS money was never intended to take the place of normal funding for vehicles, etc., etc., etc. It's not what it was supposed to do. Secretariat says that it states that the use of technology must be research. Some states, we're waiting approval. But Secretary, tell me there's no contradictions. What is the emphasis got of the proposed technological investigation support center structures? Time frames. Secretariat, what was your input in this, in these structures? Time frames for the approval and establishment of strategy and structures. No time frames. Cost implications and resourcing of the establishment of the 10 units, the corruption units. You come here and talk to us today about it. We've just went through the budget. Did you, any of you, I might have missed it, heard anything about these 10 units and the budget implications thereof? I didn't. I might have missed it. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't heard it. Secretary, politically, you know, sometimes officials become politicians. And you can argue that there's no contradictions, but there's no alignment either. It's clear from what I'm stating to you that there's no alignment either. The language issue is another one. I mean, we made specific proposals around the language issue. Now you tell us we're going to train them in basic English. You are still saying we're looking at Soccer World Cup solution. Time frame for accreditation. I'm now back to forensic services. Recommendation for registration of forensic analysts. Part of the detective dialogue recommendations. Not responded to. Time frames for approval and implementation of the draft FCS policy. Where's the copy of the policy? We said every policy must come to us as well. Not for us to sign off on it or anything like that, but to take note of it. That's just a few that I've picked up. Members, I'm opening for questions, but I want to ask members maybe just to consider to take us to propose a way forward, please. Honourable Stuba, Honourable Kulabarnat, Honourable Mulabatsi, Honourable Sabir.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think what was the problem that was identified, that we need detectives. This document that I've seen here, that I've got in front of me, doesn't speak to the problem. And I also read in the document that our deal is that more or less 20% on a station must be detectives. But if I look at the Secretariat's document on page 9, or the slide on page 9, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I see in 2002 the personnel strength was 9,721 with a police population of 131,000. Now that's more or less 14%. And then we say we've got a growth of 6.8% over the above period, because in 2012 there was 23,701 detectives out of a police population of 199,000, which is 8%, if I'm correct. So it's a decline in percentage. So how are we going to alleviate this problem that we've got? We've got not enough detectives, and this document doesn't speak to it. Then the second thing is on page 10 of slide 10 of the document by the police, we are talking about we are going to training partnerships is being established with training institutions, and 50 trainees from Gauteng will be undertake such training at the University of Cape Town. Now, partnerships, if University of Cape Town is a partner, surely University of Pretoria might also be one. University of Free State might also be one. Why bring them down from Joburg or from Gauteng to Cape Town for 50 people for a holiday to be at UCT? Why not people from this province to UCT and other province to other to universities within their provinces? But the problem is, if I look at slide 26, we are talking here about partnerships. But on slide 26, which is the partnerships, there's no mention made of one university. Although we say we've got a partnership with UCT, there's no mention made of one university. So what's being said to us here? Are we thumb sucking here, or is it just a spook and plot presentation that we've got in front of us? Thanks, Chair.
Can we keep to the two questions, members?
Sorry, I thought as you went through quite a few, we could just...
Going through the questions, I was summarising on our behalf what is contradictory.
All right, I'll do one to the forensics. I specifically remember that one of the issues that was raised about was about the introduction of a basic forensic crime scene kit into each vehicle, so that we stopped having these youngsters walking through and destroying crime scenes. I don't see any reference to that. And let's look down at another one. You've got 21,786 laptops listed, yet only 3,383 detectives trained in computer literacy. That's what it says here. So why would you buy 21,000 laptops if you've only trained 3,000 people? Because by the time, it seems that the training is going so slowly, by the time you've got sufficient people trained to take over the laptops, they'll actually be obsolete, unless you actually have 21,000 people trained. I don't know, it's a bit confusing in these notes. Please just, all right, I'll come.
Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question to the Secretariat. In your findings, did you find the REC to be relevant to the police stations? Why I'm asking that is, we've been visiting many police stations, and not even one of them did you find a situation where the REC matches the real needs of the police station. There's always a big gap. So that is why my question is REC relevant to the police stations in your view? My second question to SAPS is, you speak of provincial level and divisional level and give figures 481 and 156 for divisional level of detectives. What do they do? Do they do detective work? Do they carry dockets? What do they do? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Sabia.
Thanks, Chairperson. On slide 33, after you have said the 2,196 investigators, but I'm having a problem. How do you allocate these cell phones? Because the laptops one is covered by Honourable Diane, because it's supposed to be 2,196 cell phones, but it's 1,906. I'm completely confused.
Honourable Toomey.
Thanks, Chairperson. There's a mention on slide 12 regarding the training of detectives by 2013-14 in typing and computer skills, and there is no mention of the target thing. How do you then get held of the number that you committed to? Because it's an open, you can train two detectives on computer and say, yes, we trained. What is the target number there that you intend to train on those skills by that financial year, 2013-2014. Slide 13, human resource development has rolled out training to detectives at station level in specialized courses. I would like to find out how many have been trained on those specialized cases, sexual offense, basic fraud investigation, and so on and so forth. Will I come to the next document? Okay, I'll come to
that. Members, please, can I have order in the meeting? We see two questions. Honourable George.
Well, my two questions are to the Secretary. I think your introduction is very good. It sort of sets the tone. But as you move along, you don't seem to be following the tone you have created. And that's my major problem. For instance, your introduction, you talk about police investigation and detective presence requires greater sophistication and training. Again, paragraph 2, it's an improvement of the capacity and the quality. But as you move along, you don't get to, can you enlighten us as to what is it that must be done and when and by what time?
Members, I'm going to allow them to answer this round of questions, but I want to make a proposal to members. And I think what we need to do is it's clear that there's further work that needs to be done by both the Secretariat and SAPS jointly. I mean, ideally one would have liked to see them come here to say, this is what we say about recruitment in terms of Secretariat, in terms of policy. This is how we're addressing it in terms of SAPS. And I would like to make a suggestion. Let them continue answering these questions, but that we call them back and that you come back with a time frame. We're quite realistic about the fact that this thing can't be implemented, even fully implemented, even in the medium term. And that we're talking about maybe a two-cycle budget cycle before we will get to the point where we want to be. But we want to be able to monitor what is happening in terms of the changes. And for that, we need to know timeframes. We need to know what has been agreed upon. The minister didn't declare the year of the detectives because he needed to declare a year. Or there was a call that, you know, please declare every year another year, you know, call it something else. He declared it because he was concerned about the successes of our detectives. And what we are busy with here is not about giving a nice position to the detectives. It is about increasing our detection rate. It's about increasing our conviction rate. That's what it's about. It's about solving crime. So I want you to answer the round of questions that members did ask, but I also want to urge members with your, can I get an indication whether you agree that they should come back with a presentation with time frames, looking at it holistically. Secretary, then tell us we need another 3 months or 4 months for that. We're not going to say come back in a month's time, but that at least that when you come back, that we have a united view on this thing, policy that has been signed off before implementation actually starts. Honourable Kula Barnett.
Yeah, Chair, I think they absolutely have to come back. And while I understand you saying let's stop with the questions, they're going to answer, but I'm just saying we've all picked on issues that if we don't raise them now, we'll be in the same document all over again, we'll be as unhappy. So I think we must go through what we've picked up.
No, I'm not stopping the questions. I'm saying let them answer, but I'm also saying that they need to come back. We're not satisfied with the presentations that we've received today. And I mean, there was a reason why I said this morning that structure and budget follows policy. There was a reason why I said it. Continue with the answers, please.
Thanks, Madam Chair, honourable members. The divisions will answer. I just need to answer on two general ones. The first one is talking about the draft retention strategy, which does not even have time frames. Indeed, Madam Chair, it does not. It is just a draft. It has not been finalized. It has been prepared by the relevant environment and tabled to management, so it is not finalized. It does not have time frames.
We understand that, but that's the problem. You can't present to us something without time frames. That's the point that members are making. So when must we expect the final retention strategy? 2018?
Yeah, I think those are the issues that when we come back, we shall have to get those time frames. And then with regard to the question of the people from Gauteng having to be trained in the Western Cape, that is a partnership that external role players have provided to finance. But we would love to, indeed to have the people locally who can also be accommodated. But there has been the issue of the sponsorship coming from Gauteng, who provided that I'm prepared to sponsor so number of detectives to be trained, and the university was prepared to offer that one. The relevant environment will answer the respective question.
Can I ask the questions be answered in the order that they've been asked? That's been the ruling all along.
Done in general, Libya is the leader of this delegation.
Honourable George, it's fine. I'm chairing the meeting. I'm waiting for them to
come. No, because now they are having a debate.
They shouldn't be having a debate. The questions were clear. General Libya, please indicate who must answer the next question.
Thanks, madam. I have answered the generic one of the Gauteng partnership, and then I will allow the forensic services to talk on the basic forensic scene kit.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The question that was posed by Honourable Gorla was about the crime kits, if they are available in all the vehicles in the police. We do not have the crime kit available as yet to all the police vehicles. We have already started with our own in the division to begin the processes there. When we were debating this matter in the previous detective dialogue, we had said that it will be coupled with the training. It would be for us more beneficial if the people have the crime kits, which they already have had the basic training which goes with the utilization of the crime scenes. Yes, we have begun the rollout. We are in the process of concluding our program with detectives in terms of training from the forensic elements. We will also be having the timelines on equipping the necessary vehicles as such. It isn't contained in the part of the pack, because the entire plan on how we roll out the training for the detectives has not been finalized as yet as to which one will be having the priorities. But that is something that we'll be able to present as well in the next sitting by the end of June.
The next one will be dealt with by human resource development with regard to the training.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just must indicate that out of the 21,000 plus laptops bought for the financial year 12-13, it's just an indication that 3,000 were trained. But that doesn't mean that these are the only detectives nationally who've been trained insofar as computer literacy is concerned. They were trained and they were working with computers currently accessing the crime administration system, etc. With regard to the question pertaining to how many people we trained in the station area insofar as specialized investigation is concerned, I would like to make a request that we submit the exact figures in writing, as I do not have the figures currently.
I don't understand how you come to a meeting like this without those figures. But continue, please.
Madam Chair, I'm going to ask the detective service to deal with the various questions relevant to the detectives.
The next question deals with the members at the province and national. We have members at provincial level and at national level that do coordination functions, do investigations, do inspections. So there's various functions. So they are, all of them at some or other time do certain investigations. The next question on the cell phones. These cell phones are allocated first to your commanders, then to your members on standby, your specialized units. And as the budgets become available, they are purchased for the members doing investigations and so forth. So not every member will have a cell phone at this stage. But the process is, as the funds become available, they are supplied with resources. The one on specialized scores was answered also by HRD, but he hasn't got the human resource development, not that the exact figures. That's all the issues. Is that everything?
Yeah, the one is the first, the secretariat.
Question for the secretariat.
Chair, there were three questions, Honourable Member Stuber, Ms. Willibowski, and then the last question from Honourable Member George that were related to the Secretary. Just in terms of the first question, and then the other two questions will be handled by Mr. Ali. In terms of the percentage, the question asked by Honourable Member Stuber, I think that's exactly why we're saying that the percentage should be based on a station percentage, because those are the actual docket carriers that do the work. And that's why we say we should re-look at how we look at the size of detectors and say that we should look at it on the ground at where the basic service delivery is being offered. And instead of trying to get a percentage, because it is a growth in numbers, but you're correct, it's not necessarily a percentage growth in terms of that. But our emphasis is saying that what we should be looking at is not the overall number of SAPS detectors, but the number of detectors on the ground at the local stations, and that's where we emphasize that that should be where the 20% comes from. I'll just hand over to Mr. Ali to answer the other two questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Our understanding of RAG, and when we explored the issues around RAG, we found that the system, there was nothing wrong with the RAG system. The kind of parameters that was used, it's an excellent tool. The issue was in the understanding of RAG by management at localized levels. RAG was supposed to inform a resource plan that would, there's no magic wand that RAG is now going to deliver. But the parameters of RAG, the tool itself, the issues is around understanding of it and managing resources in terms of proper resource planning, medium to long term. That was the issue around RAG. We felt the tool is excellent. That was our understanding of that. The next question in terms of sophistication. Like it was indicated, yeah, we felt that we needed to be forward thinking, where we would like to see the detective in 3 years from now. And yes, we can laugh about it, the issues around CSI, the kind of programs we were seeing, and that was the kind of understanding we were getting with the international scan, that the environment of detectives was changing from the traditional reactive wait for things to happen. We wanted to see the detective sit with a laptop and be able to link information speedily, do analysis, do linkages to cases, a different kind where it is more proactive in the management. And that's the kind of sophistication we're talking about, Honourable Member, where we do future scenarios and project what we would like to see the detective in the future. I thank you.
Honourable George's question, I think, have not been answered, Secretary. You must maybe come back to it. You were saying that in starting your document, you're saying all the right things, but then you seem to lose what you've said in the beginning. And I think it comes also back to the fact that there's no line drawn through in terms of by then this should happen. In order for this to happen, the following should take place, the following should be in place, etc., etc. And I think that's the criticism that I've raised as well in the beginning,
that there is no clear plan on the table. What we have here is research and it is reactionary planning, with all due respect. That's how I'm feeling about it. Research versus reactionary planning. And somewhere along that line, we need to see the two meet. We're trying to assist the detective environment. This committee is trying to assist the detective environment by making it a priority, by saying that you play a vital role in the crime fighting of South Africa, in South Africa, and that where in the past resources have went to visible policing, we need to see a bigger focus on detectives. That's what we're trying to do. But what we need in order to do that successfully is a cooperation between the Secretariat and SAPS. And to take us through on a plan that's got time frames that tell us straight up, members, in the next year we can achieve that. Year two, this is what we're going to do. Year three will require so many millions extra budget. Forget about this that you've recommended, it's not workable. Everything that we've recommended is not necessarily correct either. We said that in the past as well. It might not be workable. But come to us with something that we can follow up, that we can push through. We're a year from elections. In a year's time, there will be somebody else sitting in this chair. There will be other members in this committee. They must be able to follow through on the work that has been started now. And with these two documents, they can't do it. That's the bottom line. And with these two documents, with all due respect, we will see no difference in the detectives. We won't see a difference. I've heard what you said about it doesn't mean that all detectives haven't been trained or they don't know how to use. I must tell you, we can take you to stations where the branch commander must call somebody else to come and get the statistics for him from the computer. That's the reality on the ground. That's the reality on the ground. Members, can I ask, is there any other questions that you want to ask, or can we close and ask them to come back? Honourable, almost said Honourable Legeto, Honourable George, and Honourable Kopi, and Honourable Philip Arnott.
I must be honest.
Just ask the question, Honourable George.
No, Madam Chair, I was going to say, follow up to my question, which you just said, if what you said could happen when they come back, for there are many good things which the Secretariat has made a recommendation on, which the detectives didn't even speak to. We don't know whether the detectives don't agree with that or they agree with that, we don't know. But it would be very, very important. For instance, there's an issue of recruitment. I've always believed that a detective is not just like you take a chap who was in the public order policing, you see, because he say, hey, you look like now you have been in the... You can't. A detective, is close to a special profession in the police service. It's not just any policeman because he... So that issue of right kind of person and training, to me, I'm not saying that it can work, but it's something which must be looked at. From the very onset, you said this, here we can produce a detective out of this person. Here, this one must go and up and down the street and just arrest criminals. Also, the issue of crime, sins of crime, which you make a proposal, and we don't hear, because that's one of the biggest problems in the police service in this country, is the issue of crime scenes, the way sometimes the first people that get into the crime scene, how they interfere in a manner which puts the whole investigation in jeopardy. I'm just saying I want to agree that they must come back, but I just want to make a plea again. They must come very prepared. You see, generally, if for some reason, like you say, you couldn't finish, if you can't finish, just, I don't think they'll kill you if you say, no, just give us another week or 2 weeks.
Honorable Mutumi.
Thanks once more, Chairperson.
I'm
you intend bringing the retired detectives back into the service. What I'm interested in is the age of the eldest detective in the employment and the youngest, and how many are about to go on retirement who are already in the employment. The second question is, you indicated the total number of dockets on hand as at March this year, 31st March this year, as 1.3 million, if I'm correct. So what I'm interested in is to maybe find out in terms of categorization, so that we are able to track to say these are the type of crime whose dockets are maybe many and these are the type of crimes whose dockets are less. So I'm interested in the categorization of dockets in terms of from that 1M. Could you try? Thank you. Just a query about, there's reference to the existing DNA database. Even though, of course, there's no legislation yet to cover that. So I've always found that a bit confusing. I'm presuming you've been heavily involved in the construction of the legislation that will come before us. So are you already... have you created your own regulations in this regard in relation to the management in relation to the legislation we haven't even looked at yet? I don't know how it's working, but I'm hoping you're not breaking any laws that we may yet pass. It's a very bizarre situation. Could I have from the detectives? I think we got five different figures for detectives previously. We now have a figure of 25,844, and yet we're told some of them are not practicing as detectives. So how many operational detectives do we have? And bear in mind, this detective unit came to us previously under a different, I suppose he was General Lala or someone, and claimed that they had all these detectives, but in fact a huge number of them had only had about a two-day course. So how many operational detectives do we actually have? And the final thing I wanted to know about was cell phones. It's not referred to, it's referred to under the DPCI, not under the detectives. In the stations, there's always this cry that the detectives have no cell phones given to them. They have to use their own. I don't know if they're paid back for their calls, but you can't send a guy out to some massive crime scene and he's got no way to contact the office. They're using their own equipment in the same way that often cops are replacing tires on vehicles when they blow up because it's just too much of a schlep to actually get it done. Please just fill us in on, these are tools of the trade, and only DPCI has actually informed us about that. So please just tell us about that. Last one was the
Thanks, Madam Chair, honourable members. I'm going to answer one, and then the divisions will deal with the rest. The one that I needed to be answering is whether the detectives do agree with the presentation as made by the Secretariat. As the Secretariat have indicated, we had a various sessions. Most of the information that they are having, we have shared. Most of the information we agree with. In terms of most of the issues raised are incorporated in our draft retention strategy document that is still under discussion. So generally, most of the issues that they have hinted, we are in agreement with. Then the detectives will deal with the matters of retired police officials, the dockets, operational detectives, and the cell phone of detectives. And then the forensic will deal with the DNA bill.
Madam Chair, thank you. The question regarding the oldest detective and how many, I will not be able to answer, but I can tell you, I know there's detectives that are going on pension in September, so the oldest will be 59 years and so many months. But the figures, I will not have how many of them. The youngest as well, I cannot give you an exact age of the youngest detective at this stage, because the types of crime on the 1.3 million dockets is from murder down to shoplifting. So you would have all the crime. The figures are available. It is on the SAPS 6 available. It can be made available on the different types of crime that are still under investigation or that are still open, either running in court or still under investigation. Operational detectives, we take, for the purposes of the division, we take the 25,844 as operational detectives. But for the purpose of investigators, we have 20,388 investigators. We have 2,419 commanders. It does not mean that the 2,419 commanders do not investigate cases. All of them, at some or other stage, will be allocated certain categories of investigation. So, pure investigators is 20,388. The issue of the cell phones, Chair, we've submitted during the last meeting on the figures. I did not carry that presentation of how many cell phones there are in the detective environment. But there is a substantial number of detectives that have cell phones. It is not, again, every detective, but it is available. The figures are available. On our last presentation, it was made available. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Forensic.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be answering on a question of the DNA database. If the existing database that we utilize is not in contravention with the current DNA bill, which is to be tabled in Parliament, it is indeed correct. We do not have the DNA database in the casework environment, which contradicts the current established DNA bill. What you currently have in operation is a casework repository, following which we have to do the comparison of the matches, from which we also work out the match probabilities in case of linking a particular person to a particular crime. Unless you have an established repository from which you can work out your statistical calculations, you may not be able to do this. So those are separate DNA databases which may not be linked together. But I would like to confirm to the House that the development of the DNA bill or the DNA legislation is done in consultation with the Secretariat. In fact, it is the Secretariat that is leading the process. We are giving input into the legislation, into the legislative framework, which is going to be presented, I think, in a week's time. We contribute fully into the development side of such, but the Secretariat is correctly taking the role and the leadership in this process. But Chair, I also omitted to provide a breakdown as I was talking to the accreditation of the forensic laboratories to talk to the registration of analysts. The recommendation of Parliament was to say professionalizing the forensics, including the registration or encouraging our analysts to register with the Council. I just wanted to make it visible to the House that there is a South African Natural as a Scientific Professions Act, which act regulates the operations of scientists in the country, and that includes chemists, biologists, microbiologists, and so forth. Forensics was never a science in the country. But as a result of the subcommittees that are formed within SACNAS as a group or as a board within the DTI, there is a committee on forensics, which committee is also part of the DTI processes of the technical aspects in forensics, the SACNAS part. We are contributing into ensuring that our analysts are also registered in the category. You will find in the existing category of forensics, it's only not more than five people that are registered, but there is no particular expertise field for all of us at the forensic lab to be registering on that body. So we are working in consultation with the board of SACNASC to ensure that we are also covered within that framework for our analysts to be able to be registered in that body to ensure the professionalization thereof. But in the process, we also realize that the Criminal Procedure Act, the requirement of such, together with the requirements of SACNASC, a little bit in contradiction, given the criminality aspects of which were not catered for in the operations of the natural scientists. But it's nothing that is beyond the effective working of the committee. We also do input into that committee. When we sit in the next time, we'll be able to provide, when we provide the plan for the accreditation, also the plan of how we take that matter forward in terms of registration of our analysts. Thank you.
Thank you. We directed from the chairperson. The committee secretary will write a letter to all the components to tell you what to bring to the committee in the next meeting, and she'll even communicate the date to you. And this brings us to the end of your presentations, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you all for the hard work that you are doing, and to say there's still room for improvement. Thank you very much. Now we don't have a quorum. I consulted with the chairperson. She said we do have a quorum. Some members are saying we don't have a quorum. We are supposed to be 7. Seven with the chairperson.
We are supposed to be 7 with the chairperson.
No. Mm. So we cannot proceed. We'll call another meeting because there is an agency for this. We're trying that. Meshe is no more with us. Yes, we are a quorum, that's why I was saying that. And you are arguing.
The deal is done.
Honorable Musumi, Rukubali Wenne, Wena Kamhar, Rasmul. Can we call Honorable Musumi in? And we are 6. So we can proceed. We are going to start. Yes, we will. Can you put up your mic?
If some committee does not send, it does not change the number of the committee. Because the committee is not determined by us. It's determined by Parliament. If, for instance, Meshe has resigned, it does not alter the fact that there's a seat in this committee for the ACDP. And that things have changed. My understanding that the committee is determined by Parliament, not by us, is that if she decides to run away, therefore now we see the number has gone down. Unless it has changed.
Can I have your input then around that? I will come back. Honorable Stoop.
Chair, to me it's clear. If doesn't matter what, if Parliament determined that there should be 14 people on this committee. That's one aspect. But in the meantime, if five of those people either resigned or are not here by, they are dead or something, then we're not 14 anymore, then we only 9. Then you take the, to get to a quorum, it's the half of 9 plus 1, and not 14, because you will never get 14.
Just a question, Madam Chair, because you must understand, this committee is
a small parliament. In parliament, there is 200 plus 200, it's 400. There is a determined number that determines the quorum. It has nothing to do whether there are 5 or 4 vacant posts. If somebody stands up in parliament and says there is no quorum in the house, all what the people in the parliament working, they count, not on the, they count on the basis of the 400. Not on the basis of how many have died, how many are still going to be replaced. I'm saying, my understanding, this is a small parliament. But if we now we establish our own rules here, separate from the rules of the house, I have no problems. We can proceed.
Can we now proceed to adopt the report? We're starting with the...
Could I just ask why we've got 2 zero reports? Is there a particular one we're supposed to be looking at? One in large print, one in smaller print.
Let's start with the budget vote one. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4.
Okay, could I just ask? At the bottom of page 2, under suspension without pay, suspension without pay continues to take place in spite of an agreement. I wasn't sure from my own notes who was the agreement with. You've got to agree, someone suggested to them and then they've agreed to it, or an agreement with the secretariat or the MPs or the minister or who? Who's the agreement with? I couldn't recall.
Help us, I can't remember myself. What was the agreement on?
Yes, it's page 2 of the
suspension without pay.
And it's under, it says suspension without pay right down at the bottom. It's under summary of stakeholder concerns. Are you with us? Okay, we're dealing with the report of the Portfolio Committee on the budget vote. 14th of May, page 2. Summary of stakeholder concerns, then you go down National Development Plan, and then suspension without pay. Oh, hang on, let me look at your other document that I was looking at. You got it now. Okay, page 2, down the bottom, suspension without pay. Got it? Now, just that it says, suspension without pay continues to take place in spite of an agreement reached with managers. Who did they agree with, or who was the agreement with? Because patently they're ignoring it. So I don't know if they agreed who with. Don't know.
Page 3, page 4,
Chair, we're going to add that in.
Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Page 11. 12. Page 13. Welcome, Honorable Member. Page 14. Page 15. Sixteen, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. 12th of February, the 01, sorry, oh, we're going to do the 14th of May, I'm told to do the 14th of May before that. Okay, 14th May. Page 1. Seventeen,
Can we have a mover? Honorable Mutumi, seconder. Honorable Sutebe. The ICIT draft report. Page 1. Page 2. 3. 4. 5. 6. 7. Can you have a mover? Honorable Sibia, seconded by Honorable Mululiki George. Thank you. The strategic plan 2013, page 1, 2, 3, 4, page okay, this brings us to the end of what we're doing. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.